Running back DeJuan Harris signed a contract with the Minnesota Vikings. We'll discuss the exodus of former Packers players to Minnesota, but first we have an NFL draft interview with Louisiana Tech safety Terrell Pinson. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about free agency. We have a player that left Green Bay. But first, we're talking about the NFL draft. We have a guest joining us on the phone, safety Terrell Pinson from Louisiana Tech University. Mr. Pinson, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Good, good. Glad to have you on the show. You had your pro day workout on campus yesterday at Louisiana Tech. Tell me, how did it go?
It went pretty good. I didn't get the numbers I really wanted, but I think I'll have a pretty good chance to get drafted or signed with somebody. So anyway, it went pretty straight.
Good, good. Now, every player seems to have one drill that they do best, whether it's the 40 or the bench press or the jumps or the shuttles. Is there kind of one that you do better than the others?
I failed at the broad jump, but I actually kind of stumbled back a little. I had like a 10-7, and I failed back a little, man. They didn't count it, so they're kind of a little strict with as far as like the drills and everything like that, but I think I did good on the, I had a pretty good broad jump.
So kind of explosiveness would be one of your strengths then?
Yes, sir.
Very good, very good. Now, this is a show based out of Wisconsin, so I have to ask, Terrell, were the Packers represented at your pro day?
I don't recall seeing them, man. I really don't.
Really? What teams were there?
We had the Saints, the Giants, the 49ers, I'm trying to recall every team that came, the Raiders, the Rams. We had like 11 or 12, but I don't know if I was in the practice.
Maybe they were incognito, but anyway, I did want to ask you, you were suspended at the end of the year by Louisiana Tech for the conference championship and then the bowl game. Can you just kind of explain what happened there and why it all came about?
Well, Louisiana Tech, we're on the quarter system. We're not on semester, so if you actually fail a class on the quarter system, you got to miss the last two games of the season. And unfortunately, it was the bowl game and the championship that came up to the last two games, so we just missed, like, the teacher. He said we didn't have everything that he wanted in the paper because we had a final paper due. So he just didn't grade it, and we failed the class, so we missed the last two games.
You're obviously on good terms with the university, though. They let you compete at their pro day.
Oh, yeah, of course. We're on good terms. It was just a bad thing at the time, man.
Fair enough. We're talking to Louisiana Tech safety Terrell Pinson here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Now, I know, Terrell, you kind of played a linebacker safety hybrid position at Louisiana Tech, but is it safe to say your teams are kind of considering you more as a safety going forward?
Yes, I'm a safety. I only play linebacker here. I sacrifice my body for my team, man. Play the defense we play. We ran a 4-3, so they needed a bigger body down in the box with the other linebackers, and we really didn't have it. So they moved me down, and I mean, I enjoyed it. So, but I'm a safety in the league, though.
Now, I remember back to your game against UTSA earlier this season. You were named the Bronco Nagurski National Defensive Player of the Week. Now, in this game, you had 7 tackles, 1 for a loss, two interceptions and a fumble recovery that you returned for a touchdown. You were like Superman that game. How did it all happen?
Man, God, that's all I can say. God, but my coach Diaz, we had a pretty good defensive scheme that whole game. He blitzed at him a lot, and I actually almost had three picks, man, but I couldn't really grab it. But it was God, man.
It was quite a showing. I do remember that. That sticks out to me as why I think you've got a chance at the NFL. At the end of the season, you were voted to the All-Conference team in Conference USA. Where does that rank on your list of accomplishments?
I'm at the top, man. I've always dreamed of just being on conference teams and just winning. At the beginning of the season, man, me and my boy, we was talking about just winning the bowl games and championships and everything. So, I mean, we had the vision, and it just didn't go out. It didn't play out how we wanted it to, but, man, my team, we got the win, and so we're fine with it.
I'm curious, what experience do you have on special teams?
Man, I play everything. I play kickoff, kick return, punt. I like punt, though, man. Just running down the field and going to get one. So, I mean, special teams just follow me. I really don't have a problem with anything.
Did you talk to any scouts? Did they kind of say, like, you know, special teams are your key to, like, making a roster in the NFL?
Yes, sir. That's pretty much what every team talked about as of right now, because I step around a little bit more for safety. But I'm willing to do whatever I got to do just to play, man. So my talent. So special teams just follow me.
Well, Terrell, we wish you all the best of luck. I appreciate you taking a few minutes here to talk this morning about your pro day and about your chances about making it in the NFL. We wish you the best of luck. And for whatever reason, if the Packers happen to be your team, we'd love to have you on again.
Man, I'd love to be up there, man. Hopefully I can showcase my talents, man.
By the way, just what was your reaction to seeing a former Louisiana Tech player, Tremont Williams? What was your reaction when you had heard he signed a big contract with the Cleveland Browns earlier this week?
I actually didn't hear about it actually a couple of days ago, man. I reached out to him on Twitter and everything. I'm proud of him. I wish he would stay in Green Bay, but I'm proud of Tremont and everything and how everything is going with him. So. Hopefully the Packers can get me up there and I can try to replace something.
Sounds good. Terrell, thanks a lot. Thanks for your time, and we wish you the best of luck.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, take care. Louisiana Tech safety Terrell Pinson joining us here for an NFL draft interview here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him join us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well on the show. I think it was really cool to have him because I think he's kind of one of the underrated safety prospects in this year's draft class. By no means is he like going to be this, you know, high round type of guy, anything like that. I don't even know if he'd be drafted at all. But as an undrafted free agent, I do think he's got some very nice measurables there, particularly his size. He's just really well built, 6'2", 210 pounds, and did have some playmaking ability there at Louisiana Tech, which had a very good season. They won the East Division of the, Conference USA, and I thought he was a big part of that, and I definitely think he has a chance in the NFL. Best of luck to him. Maybe I should have talked to him about this. He was originally scheduled to play football at West Virginia. I'm not even sure exactly what happened. I should have gotten the story on this. I apologize. He ended up, I believe, going the JUCO route and then transferring to Louisiana Tech back to FBS Division I school. Regardless, I think he's got some potential, and good to see he had a fun time at his pro day yesterday. So, but anyway, continuing on here. On a Friday morning, yesterday's Packers news of the day. Sorry, no sound bites this morning. But anyway, Duane Harris signs a one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings, according to agent Andy Sims on Twitter. So Duane Harris just continues the exodus of former Packers players to Minnesota, which is really interesting because he's the second player this offseason to make that same trek, following in the footsteps of tight end Brandon Bostic, who was released earlier this offseason and then picked up on waivers by the Minnesota Vikings. But beyond that, you know, over the past decade or so, there just seems to be a very large amount of Packers players that go to Minnesota. Of course, from Brett Favre, but the list certainly doesn't end there, from Greg Jennings to Desmond Bishop to Ryan Longwell to Darren Sharper and Robert Ferguson, just to name a few. There's a few, you know, less heralded players as well. But anyway, very interesting that he's joining a member of the NFC North, so happens to be a division rival of the Green Bay Packers. But anyway, Dewan Harris was scheduled to be, I mean, he was he was an exclusive rights free agent, and the Packers did not tender him after the season, which basically allowed him to sign anywhere in the NFL he felt. When you're an exclusive rights free agent, that means you have either 1 or 2 years of experience in the NFL. But if you do get tendered, you got to sign with the team. You just get your tender offer. It's kind of a rare situation. But anyway, the Packers declined to do that. They kind of saw, here's a guy, Dewan Harris, that really kind of had a disappointing 2014 season, and I don't think they saw a future for him in Green Bay. Now, if you remember, if we go through Dewan Harris's history with the Green Bay Packers, he came to the Packers in the midst of the 2012 season. They just picked him up off the street. So you kind of remember it was kind of a big story at the time that Dewan Harris, he was working at a car dealership, if I remember correctly. He had gotten, you know, other chances in the NFL. He was actually with the Jacksonville Jaguars for a brief period. And anyway, the Packers had some injuries there in the 2012 season. And all of a sudden, Dewan Harris kind of provides a spark for him late in the season. He actually becomes the starting running back towards the end of the year and does a very admirable job, especially considering he had only been there for a few weeks. Not like he was Superman by any means, but considering the situations and considering he was picked up off the street, was a pretty promising start to Dewan Harris's career in Green Bay. He actually, you know, started the last few games of the regular season, extended into the playoffs. The Packers went 2 games into the playoffs that year. He played in both of them. He scored like 4 touchdowns, something like that. And you kind of thought, well, at least, maybe he's not a starter, but he could be a guy that is part of the Packers, you know, plans for the future at least. And then, of course, it was disappointing. The following year, 2013, ends up on injured reserve the whole season. I believe it was he tore the patellar tendon in his knee during training camp. And, you know, that just, it was a lost year, which is disappointing because, it just never really materialized at all. Kind of set him back a little bit. But he comes back in 2014, and coming into the year, you're optimistic that he's going to show that spark again that he did in 2012. But like I said before, really kind of a disappointing campaign. He is kept on the Packers 53-man roster, and he's rarely used at running back, but he is their primary kick returner for most of the season. Basically until the playoffs when the Packers, Dewan Harris just didn't have it as a kickoff returner, ended up being among those that, qualified, when the NFL goes and ranks all the kick returners in the NFL statistically, how are they doing average returns per kick? They they discount, you know, the people who only returned one or two kickoffs the whole season. So among those who had enough kick returns to qualify, DeJuan Harris had the second lowest kick return average in the entire NFL. Second worst. He averaged something like 20.7 yards per kick return, which just, you know, didn't cut it. He just didn't show the explosiveness that he once had. Maybe it took him a little bit too long to get up to speed, or maybe he didn't quite have the elusiveness required to gain those extra yards. Whatever it was, DeJuan Harris just didn't have any. You remember, all of a sudden it comes to, I think it was the very last week, week 17, the Packers decided, 17 weeks into the season, it's time to make a change. And they start going back with mostly Micah Hyde, but I think Randall Cobb may have gotten a few, one or two opportunities there as well. And DeJuan Harris got, you know, very few opportunities at running back over the course of the season. I think he had 16 carries the entire year. So just really fell out of favor. And you kind of understand it a little bit when you've got, first of all, a Pro Bowl caliber running back as your starter in Eddie Lacy. Beyond that, you have a very dependable James Starks behind him. And you had John Kuhn, who can kind of function in a, you know, one back system at, if need be. So if all those things combined conspired to work against DeJuan Harris and just didn't really have a role in 2014. So the Packers moving on, but I guess the question is, where do the Packers go from here? They'll be looking this upcoming season for a third string running back and obviously a new kick returner. And I kind of threw the question out on Twitter, you know, now that DeJuan Harris is officially gone, who do you think the Packers kick returner will be in 2015? Because there's no shortage of candidates, including those to be those that are in-house. Of course, they have, you know, the guys who did it last year, Micah Hyde and Randall Cobb. You can kind of understand if Randall Cobb really isn't used as a primary kick returner. Maybe he is in the playoffs or something like that when, you know, game's on the line and you're working to get to the Super Bowl. But they have last year's rookies, Jeff Janis and Jared Apodaris. Who knows? Maybe they get a rookie this year. We'll see. So getting back to my point here, I threw it on Twitter. Who do you think will be the Packers kick returner in 2015? Just throw out, you know, some of Packer Nation's thoughts here. Jay on Twitter says Jeff Janis. Doug Bowerns on Twitter says Jared Abradaris. Kurt in Milwaukee on Twitter says a draft pick, so he thinks a rookie will be. Then we have some snarky answers in here as well. Parm Milwaukee on Twitter says molasses. It'd be faster than Harris, kind of indicating DeJuan Harris really didn't show the speed that they really needed at the kick return position. Cathal 41 on Twitter says Hyde. Cody on Twitter, LA Goose 21 says Hyde or Cobb on punts and Abradaris or Janis on kickoffs. Do You Rant on Twitter says Jeff Janis. Justin Hicks on Twitter says Jared Abradaris. So lots of different options here. Not a whole lot for Randall Cobb. Again, as I alluded to before, pretty much the reason why being that, you know, he's now a very highly paid wide receiver and won't be risked on special teams all that often. But there's a lot of in-house candidates in addition to who they may get at in the NFL draft, perhaps. So we'll see what ends up happening there in far as how do the Packers replace DeJuan Harris. At the running back position, you know, they're going to basically be looking for a third string running back, perhaps a guy that they feel could go beyond third string in due time. I think the Packers are comfortable with James Starks as their, you know, primary backup to Eddie Lacy. But now remember, James Starks enters the final year of his contract in 2015. So he's got 1 year left with the Green Bay Packers, then his contract will expire. And by this time, you know, James Starks is getting up there in age. He'll be, I think this will be his sixth year in professional football. And as far as running backs go, that's pretty high. So you can certainly understand that, you know, after 2015, he may not have much of a future in Green Bay. Maybe, you know, I'm not calling him chopped liver, but, you know, at some point, you know, all running backs tend to break down. Those carries and those hits kind of, you know, tend to accumulate and tend to take their toll on a person's body. So maybe the Packers have somebody that they're looking, you know, to be a third string running back this year, but then in a year's time, they're the backup to Eddie Lacy. So could very much be a case like that. Who knows? I mean, all of a sudden, if they go out and get a guy like Amir Abdullah in the NFL draft, who seems to be very promising, he could possibly even be number two back in his rookie year. But I do think they're comfortable with James Starks for one more season, but perhaps no longer than that. So we'll see what happens there. But DeJuan Harris officially no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers as of yesterday, apparently, reportedly. Elsewhere in the news on, since our last episode of Railbird Central on Wednesday, because after the show, the news broke that linebacker Jamari Lattimore visited the New York Jets. So Jamari Lattimore is an unrestricted free agent. He had spent 4 years in Green Bay and his contract expired. So he's free to test the free agent market. However, that news broke on Wednesday. It's now 2 days later, and there's still been no word. So obviously this is not a huge priority for the New York Jets. I don't know if they're just kicking the tires and wanted to talk to Jamari Lattimore. No indication that this is imminent or anything like that. For all I know, it could be something where, like I say, you know, the deal's done and it just hasn't been reported yet, but still, you know, 2 days have passed. So this isn't something that's been pressing for the New York Jets, and they need to sign Jamari Lattimore now. So we'll see where it goes from here. But the larger point being, I guess, you know, the Packers appear to be willing to let Jamari Lattimore, look around the NFL, because despite the Packers having perhaps a perceived need at inside linebacker, you know, in light of all that's happened this offseason, them, you know, releasing A.J. Hawk, them releasing Brad Jones, they don't have a whole lot of guys returning that are true inside linebackers. You know, pretty much Sam Barrington is one of the few guys with a few rookies from last year, like Carl Bradford. And certainly he's no sure thing. So you would think, well, maybe we'll bring Jamari Lattimore back just simply from a depth standpoint, that, you know, at least there's somebody experienced that they could turn to. But, then you look back and 4 seasons in Green Bay, and Jamari Lattimore really never did all that much. He was kind of a spot starter the past 2 seasons. Got a few starts here and there in 2013, here and there in 2014. And he did show athleticism. I'll give him that. But a lot of times there was guessing as well, where he would almost be too fast to a position and then he'd be out of place, and a running back would be by him already or things like that. Seemed to guess a little bit, which is a shame, because he does have that, you know, kind of athleticism that you would think would allow him to make plays, and he did make the occasional one, but certainly just not on a consistent basis with the Green Bay Packers. I guess it was the athleticism that allowed him to be somewhat effective on special teams. Actually, it was the 2012 season, Jamari Lattimore was actually voted one of the Packers' postseason captains that year. That's impressive when that's voted upon by your peers. I've mentioned that before on the show. Since that point, he was never voted a postseason captain again. Not that he didn't play special teams, but I suppose that's where his primary role was in Green Bay, because it wasn't, you know, primarily at linebacker. But still waiting to see what happens to Lattimore. Nothing imminent. It's still possible that the Packers could bring him back. You could kind of maybe read the writing on the wall and think the Packers almost want him to sign with another team. And especially because if he signs for enough money, Jamari Lattimore could qualify for the compensatory draft pick formula. But, I mean, he would have to sign for, like, over $1 million a season and probably more like $1.5 million per season on average, which is what he got with the Packers in his last year in Green Bay, entering last offseason, 1 year ago from, you know, from now, or if we're looking back in time. Last year, Jamari Lattimore was a restricted free agent. Packers did offer him the one-year tender worth about $1.4 million. Have to think that's what Jamari Lattimore would like, a contract in that range. But perhaps his production isn't commensurate with that type of pay, that pay grade. So I don't know if he's going to get that. The Packers would like it. It's possible he could possibly get something like a seventh round compensatory draft pick if he were to happen to leave by chance. But like I said, we just kind of in a wait and see mode here, a holding pattern, because nothing is happening really fast at the situation here. So anyway, for our last segment of the show, the day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, the pro day circuit continues while most of the attention in college athletics is focused on the NCAA basketball tournament, and understandably so. What a day of action yesterday. Does the NCAA basketball tournament ever disappoint? Like the first 2 days, it's always one of the best sports days on the calendar of the year, just, you know, starting at about 11 a.m. Central Time to 11 p.m. Central Time. So, you know, pretty much 12 straight hours of basketball situation. All these games go down the wire and the upsets, and my bracket's busted. But I got a feeling that a lot of people's are. So hang in there, folks. If you got a few wrong, I digress. But elsewhere in college athletics, few campuses on Friday are holding pro day workouts. The one that'll garner the most attention today is at Central Michigan. And you think, oh, little MAC school, they don't have anybody, or that's kind of your automatic assumption. Well, they sent three players to the NFL Combine this year, and Central Michigan kind of producing some impressive players just in recent years, from, you know, just few years ago, Eric Fisher being the first overall draft pick, and they produced Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now here they got three guys at the NFL Combine. So guys to keep an eye out for today if the Packers are in attendance. As I always say, the Packers never publish specifically which pro days they'll attend. They don't attend them all, but they do happen to be represented at a majority of them most of the time. And you could certainly understand if they're there at Central Michigan today because of all the talent there. So the three guys that they have at Central Michigan this year that are potential NFL draft picks are wide receiver Titus Davis, running back Thomas Rawls, and defensive lineman Latarius Walton. Really, I think Walton is probably maybe the best prospect of them all. He's so big. He's like 6'5", 319 pounds. He's got that size you can't coach. I mean, he's not a first-round draft pick or anything, but, when you're that big, you have the ability to clog lanes, and could be a good one. Titus Davis is really another talented prospect, especially compared to his peers in like the MAC conference. He was the best prospect there, probably the best talent there. And Thomas Rawls, the running back, originally transferred, went to a bigger program at Michigan, and then had to transfer down after things didn't work out there. And who knows? You know, we talked before about the Packers kind of looking for a third-string running back. Could end up looking at a guy like Rawls as an undrafted free agent you bring in and see what you got. So we'll see if the Packers are there. A couple others on the pro day circuit. Valdosta State and Harding hosting their workouts today. Over in Arizona, the NFL owners meetings get underway next week. But in the run-up to the owners meetings, they're hosting the annual career development symposium today and tomorrow. Actually started on Thursday. They hold it every year. Former Packers general manager Ron Wolf is a featured speaker during that event. And it kind of leads into the NFL owners meetings over the weekend. They're hosting the regional combine, super combine. So all the players, the best ones from all the regional competitions, invited out to Arizona. Packers will definitely be represented there. You can rest assured about that. And then the NFL's first ever veteran combine for guys who are kind of without a team right now, not free agents, but guys who have been kind of those street types who've kicked around and you know, kind of unaffiliated at the moment, kind of giving it one last shot here to see what they've got in the NFL. And you can, again, be rest assured the Packers will be checking that out, seeing as they'll be there for the NFL owners meetings anyway. At least someone will. So, interesting. Interesting time. We'll be talking a lot about the NFL owners meetings next week. You know, they release schedules, they release compensatory draft picks. So be looking forward to that in the week ahead. Interesting. So that'll do it for today's show. I got an interesting guest lined up for us on Monday. Tentatively have former Packers running back Ryan Grant going to talk to us on Monday morning. I reached out on him on Twitter. He was discussing on social media about the Chris Borland retirement, which just kind of drew me to his comments, and I wanted to get his thoughts on the situation. So that'll be really cool to have former Packers running back Ryan Grant on the show on Monday morning. So we're scheduled to have that. Looking forward to that. We have a show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. So we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caravu. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy the basketball, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. I leave you today with a song called Velvet Red by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. We'll be right back.